Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, before we get to our new episode, we have an exciting announcement.
Snixmas is back. So please join us for a live taping of And That's What You Really Missed, live from the iHeartRadio Theater in Los Angeles.
We are raising funds and awareness in loving memory of our friend Naya Rivera to benefit Alexandria House.
Celebrate the holidays with us and keep the Snixmas spirit alive.
Join us in person at the iHeartRadio Theater or watch the live stream.
Special guests, performances, unbelievable, gleeful auction items, and a live podcast.
Here are the details. In-person event, December 6th at 7 p.m. from the iHeartRadio Theater in Los Angeles.
And for those of you that can't join us in person, we are streaming the event on December 8th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And don't worry, we'll be watching right along with you and chatting with you live.
We will even have a virtual meet-and-greet option.
Tickets are available on boxoffice.mandolin.com.
We are placing the direct link to the tickets on our Instagram bio and the notes of this podcast episode. So go check it out and we'll see you there.
Merry Snixmas!
And That's What You Really Missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey y'all, welcome back to the show.
New episode, new cast member, same old Jenna and Kevin.
Same old us.
Today is a very exciting episode. We have one of our BFFs on.
We got to chat with the one and only Heather Morris, Brittany S. Pierce. Woo!
Hemo is in the building. And the beautiful thing about Heather is that, like, I think the women on the show, you are all very good at expressing yourselves openly and being direct. And I think you taught all of us males, you know, how to speak up for ourselves.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Heather had an amazing story on the show, how she had a baby during it. She was doing a lot more than everybody else.
Yeah, she was extra, as she would say. She was being extra at that time, in the best way possible. And also, we all learned, I think, on the show from each other within the women as well, how to speak up for ourselves. And, you know, we get into this in the episode with Heather, but coming from a dance background, you kind of like shut your mouth, put your head down and do the work. So this is a different experience for her as well, and how she evolved through the show. So I'm excited for you guys to hear.
I also learned a lot. There were lots of things I didn't know, even being around her every day. So I'm excited for all of you to hear it. So
let's get to it.
Let's stop talking and listen to Heather.
Hi, Hemo.
Hey.
Welcome back.
I just listened to Chris's episode prior to this. I loved it.
Sweet,
I was like
right?
laughing out loud. We were walking, we were looping the neighborhood, walking Taylor and I was listening. And I was like
so
cackling
cute.
To myself.
Isn't he the best?
I love him.
It's very sweet. I think it's sweet.
I think it's sweet. It's also nice to like see someone that we've known since they were 18 blossom into the force that he is today. Just
the 19 book bestseller.
He was always there. He just had to grow into it. Like
exactly.
Yes.
Chris was always there.
Yeah.
That was his destiny from day one. He just
had to grow into it. Always a force.
So, Heather, I'd like to start this episode by sharing with you the thesis of this podcast, just to set the tone. The tone is what Lady Murphy had said earlier in his episode was there's a difference between what Glee did to us and did for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thesis of our new podcast. So,
wow.
Do what you want with that.
Yeah.
Like
take it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
We're watching the Ted Kaczynski Unabomber show right now. Taylor, we binged that yesterday. That's what we did on our time without our children.
Good for you.
Binge watching the Unabomber show. And one of the episodes, Ted Kaczynski gets forced into this social experiment where they're basically testing like the Soviet spies ways on these Harvard law students, or these Harvard students. I don't know if you've heard about this, but he was basically like brainwashed and he was so intelligent that like he wouldn't let them break him.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to make him feel like he was crazy for having these eccentric ideas about technology and how we're, you know, as a society, like really social and all these ideas that he like essentially was coming up at the same time. They like brainwashed him to try and make him think he was crazy. And he wouldn't let it break him. He was like, I'm not crazy. Essentially it forced him to do what he was gonna do. And anyways, so all this aside,
speaking of Glee,
is that how you felt during Glee?
Glee, what a crazy social experiment.
As much as everyone tried to break you and convince you you're
crazy. I did break.
We all did.
We all broke. Kevin was the last to break, but we were talking about that too, how we all broke. When did you break, Heather?
Babe, what a question. I'll never forget to the day when we were sitting on a golf cart and I was in my deepest of darkest. And Naya looks to Kevin and she goes, she just stopped talking altogether. She just didn't talk to anybody. And I was like, I don't, you're right. I don't speak a word. I don't speak out loud. I'll never forget that day. She took it to the real level it should have been taken to.
Yeah, she always did.
Yeah. She was the one that could get through. She was like a translator for a lot of us. Like she could read us and be like, oh, this is what's going on.
Yeah, she was like our puppeteer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, speaking of, I was going to get to this, but we may as well just like get into it.
Yeah, just
if you don't mind. We're in a hot tub. We're like in it, like it's like burning now where you're like,
I'm already sweating.
You got to step out for a second.
You need like a 10-minute break.
Yeah, you need to like sit on the ledge. That's where we're at already.
I love this with you guys. I love doing this.
We love you. We love having you. The tour was pretty crazy for all of us women, I think. Kevin's memory is very good about how like all the girls like locked themselves in the dressing room at one point and was like, I want to go home. Like I felt that way for sure. But I'll never forget you shared a story with me. And if you're open to sharing it, like you had kind of come to a breaking point on tour and you had said to me like Naya was the only person who really confronted you about it and was like, I'm worried about you, or like, are you okay? And I'm just curious if you would be comfortable to sharing that story.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, I just like when I started the show, essentially, I mean, there's so much backstory to all this, obviously, we know, but like...
We can go back.
Yeah, we'll go back.
We can go back.
We'll go back. But we were in it.
So. I just had a really unhealthy work habit that I had tried to keep up for so long, just basically because I had not had to work hard for this show. I got this job just out of thin air, essentially. I mean, yeah, I had put in the work as a dancer, but, you know, people know I didn't audition for this show. I just got it. So I felt like I had to keep that up and people please the whole time. And I was just pushing and pushing and pushing. And when we started the tour, I had developed an eating disorder. I stopped getting my period. I was so in my head about food and what it was doing for me. And obviously this is just a manifestation of what my body was really going through in my mind, but I just was unhealthy. I looked at all food as bad, and I was in a really bad place. I just didn't know it yet. And I remember being in the dressing room, like getting myself ready. I had just walked into the food hall with everybody, looked at the food as I did every single time. And I was like, I just don't think I want that today. You know, stared at it like I did every single time. I'm sure everybody was noticing. And I went back in the dressing room, and Naya walked in, and she was like, I can't remember exactly what she was saying, but she was approaching me about my eating disorder, because I know she herself had eating disorders, and she was very open about it in her book. And so she, of course, was the first to speak up about it and just say, like, I don't know what's going on with you, but I feel like, you know, something is happening, and just was trying to be there in a way. And I just completely blew it off. Like, no, I'm fine. Of course I'm fine. There was nothing else after that. There was nothing to be spoken about. So she probably got the hint, like, oh, okay, well, if she doesn't want to talk about it, she's not ready for this conversation.
Totally. Totally.
And that's who she was. She was just always ready to talk about it. And that's, I feel like we're all, we're all like that now. It just takes that time and place in your life where you realize, like, they're, life's too short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be scared to address the hard things. You just have to do it with the people you care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? It's like, I'll take the risk of pissing you off for asking the questions that I feel need to be asked in an appropriate way.
I think that comes with age too and maturity, right? Like, for somebody like me who like doesn't like confrontation or like to rock the boat at all, you know, it feels like it's like a pot stirrer versus like actually being a solution. But now you see it, I see it as like a solution and like not trying to stir the pot and like dance around like people talking like, what's going on with Heather? What's going on? Versus like somebody like Naya going like, I'm just going to ask her what's going on and if she's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which should have been the solution the entire time. And if we're going to be brutally honest, it's like, that's what number ones do. You know, like the high ups, it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just got to talk about things.
You're leaders. Yeah. You act like leaders. Leader.
And that's what we do when we have adult 20-year-old or 20 cast members who are adults who are all going through this thing together, right?
Right. But we were children. Wait, so,
yeah, well, no. I mean, well, that was my biggest pet peeve is that would come up. They're like, you guys are all kids. I'm like, bitch, no, we are 23 years old. Don't treat us like children. I used to get so pissed.
That's such an interesting thing because so many people, like, we were kids in the sense that, like, a lot of people don't hit the height of their career until later in life, right? Until they've put in like the time as an adult versus us who we all did actually, most of us put in a lot of time previous to Glee that people don't know about. And then you're an overnight sensation. You're like, actually, no.
It's like, no, like all these people
you've seen somewhere else before this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, when you're 23, you're not an adult. So. Right. They have a right to say we were children. Our brains were not fully developed.
We were also the youngest cast members, so it was like easier for them to group us all together. It's like the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure Heather knows Beyonce. So
yeah. Well, that's it. Let's talk about Beyonce. So you came in to do the show. I mean, I know we've told this story a lot, but let's just retell it. Tell us how you got how you joined Glee, how Britney Spears came to be. Like, share the story with us.
Okay, well, so I was, prior to coming to teach you guys, I had gone on tour with Beyonce for the Beyonce Experience, and then took a big break from that. Then she came back, and she came out with her big single, Ladies Hit, and I had to re-audition for that. And
you had to re-audition for Beyonce?
I had to re-audition for Beyonce. I had done her tour, and then we were done with the tour. There was like 10 girls, 4 guys. It was all finished. And then, you know, we had a big, huge break. Go do your other jobs. Go get another pizza job and try and live your life somehow with the money that you don't have. And then I had to go re-audition for this huge, like, single ladies tour-ish thing that was happening.
Yeah, like the promo
tour. Which
is tour.
Wild. Yeah, it's wild. We had to go in and audition with everybody else, which is fine. You know, you do that thing. And,
she got it.
You do it.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, like, did it. No sweat.
She still got it.
I still did it. And so simultaneously at the same time, I decided I was going to be this actress now. Like, I wanted to be a star my whole life. So I wrote to my agents and I was like, thank you so much for the opportunity, but right now I'm going to take a break. I'm going to focus on acting, and was going to like a prestigious acting school, quote unquote. And, which was essentially just like a cult. Now that you look back on it, it was basically a cult.
Heather Morris joins cult. That's the headline of this week.
So I started that whole journey of like, I'm going to be this actress. And Zach Woodley, who was my biggest champion at the time, knew that. And I had assisted him doing Fired Up, which was a cheerleading movie. And he came to me and he was like, hey, I have a great opportunity. I want you to teach the single ladies dance to some actors who are doing it in one of their episodes of the show. And also they're kind of looking for dancers because all these kids are singers and actors. They don't really have anybody who can move on the show. And just kind of be like background fillers, essentially. I was like, okay, great. I'll wear my best outfit. Going to wear my coolest jams there. So I was going to go teach that day. And I think you guys might know this story in a roundabout way. But the day of my audition, I was driving in my Prius on the way to the audition. I had just turned like around the corner to the Paramount lot. And in this point in my life, I was like battling with IBS, right? Like I had a really sensitive stomach. I always have. I just didn't know about it at the time. And I just had guzzled a coffee because I was like, I got to have energy. I'm good. I'm ready for this.
Oh my God.
I love where this is headed.
Heather turns the corner. This is right before I walk in to meet you guys and Ryan Murphy. I turn the corner and I'm thinking I'm going to fart. I let out a fart and it's not a fart.
You sharted.
I sharted my pants. On Gower, and what's the other crossroad?
Like
Melrose?
Melrose, yeah.
Is it Melrose? Yeah. I was on Gower and Melrose, and I was just turning left, and I had sharted my pants, and I was about to enter the Paramount lot for the very first time to teach you guys.
Hollywood glamour.
Hollywood glamour at its finest. I was in my American Apparel maroon onesie.
Maroon onesie. I remember this very,
it was that
very
day?
Vividly.
It was that day.
I remember that, too.
Yes, you didn't know.
We didn't know.
10 minutes before, I had just shit my pants, and I had to get there in like 10 minutes. So I pull into the neighborhood right across the street.
Yeah,
I don't even have to take off my onesie. I take off my underwear inside my onesie. Like I pull it through my leg. I roll it in a ball. I throw it out the window. I check if I'm fine. I don't like, there's no stank coming from me. I'm good. I'm not going to give away that I just shit my pants.
It's also like a really like bougie neighborhood. These like big ass houses.
Hancock Park. Like,
yeah. Hancock Park.
Stop. I'm dead.
It's so
she didn't
true.
Blink. She didn't even blink.
Yeah. It was an early Christmas present for somebody. Beautiful people walking by, walking their dog. And then I walked into Paramount and I continued to teach you guys a single ladies dance.
You did teach us single ladies. I can't remember how long you taught us single ladies for. Do you remember?
I want to say it was a total of 2 or 3. I couldn't imagine it would be more, though. Would it?
Like longer. I don't know. Maybe.
I think you were around, though. Weren't you? Like before we had started shooting the new episodes, the actual season, like you were around and we were always in the tent shed rehearsing. And then you guys were in the tent shed. Rehearsing.
Right.
And then I remember like then you Zach brought you around to meet all of us and like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then we were all just hanging out.
But then when did it was it like, oh, she's gonna stick around?
So I can't remember exact timelines because I know I had been teaching you guys that. Right. And then after, I believe it was the same day, after I was teaching you guys, I was supposed to go read for Ryan Murphy. Right. I was given the Quinn sides, and I was supposed to go to the bungalow and just read for him really quick.
Right.
And it happened twice. Two times he asked me to read for him, because I had met him with Zach, you know, once we were done rehearsing, he was right. like, yeah, I'd love to have you. And both times he canceled on me for this read. And I don't know what solidified it. Maybe he knew about
you're
the just chart
like,
deep
your
down.
Your glory, like your halo was like enough that he was like, great, just cast her.
Like she had to audition twice for great. Beyonce. Don't even audition for this show. You got it.
Don't even audition. That's how he knew, Kevin. That's yeah. how he knew. He talked to Frank Gatson.
Wow.
Yeah, so I never went to read for him. Just and, like, which lucky enough, because if I would have read, he probably wouldn't have hired me.
No, that is not true. That is not true.
Well, you never know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jenna, let's talk about one of our favorite places. Target. This is where, like, Austin and I go on dates. We will run through the aisles of Target. I love the book selection. Seriously, this is our favorite place to go together. We go all the time. And specifically, Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
Exactly. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
Now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remind me about Britney S. Pierce. Because, like, I remember you doing Britney, like, for all of us in the choir room, and like the lip syncing.
It was a really good bit.
And you would make us all like laugh. It's a really good bit.
Yeah, and you were like expanding on it every choir room scene, like for us in between.
You guys were my biggest champions.
Oh yeah,
because I did it for you guys, and it was so fun. And then Ryan Murphy would walk in, and my heart would stop, and I'd be like, "Oh my god!" And then you guys would talk to him, and you would then, you know, somehow, I don't know, convince him that he needed to stay and listen to my
message. We were like, one day, we were like, enough is enough. He needs to see
you gotta
this.
Hear
we gotta talk about this. Yeah. We gotta talk about this. And I don't even think I did much. I was just doing like the finger in the ear, and I was like, and that was it. I don't even think real people knew about this part of Britney S. Pierce.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Right? Because it was just between us.
Yeah.
That was just our joke, was that Britney was tone deaf. And then it turned out that Sugar Mata was actually toned up.
Yeah, she was the real.
Britney S. Pierce toned up.
Bless. I remember Ryan's cackle when you would do it, though. He had that really loud cackle that you would hear. Like,
I love it.
Do you remember, too, wasn't it that same day then that you guys had a scene? I think it was you, Anaya, or you, Diana, mm-hmm. Anaya.
Us three had a scene in Mr. Shoes' Spanish room.
It was a room or an office or something. It was one of the teachers, yeah. And then Ryan just started feeding you lines because it was right after we forced you to perform as Britney for him. And then it was like after that, then all of a sudden, like the next scripts from here on out, it's just here she is. She's a full-fledged character. And it's the best comedy on the entire show.
Thank you. It was a mixture of nerves and my love for Mean Girls, Karen, because she was so genius.
Oh my God. The delivery was so awesome. That.
Loved that it.
Makes yeah, so much like, sense.
Karen from Mean Girls is it. This is who she's going to be.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I know. Now you hear it. Now you feel it.
I do. I don't think I... Okay. Wow. My mind is blown.
What's interesting that I never thought about and didn't even think to ask you back then was that sense of responsibility or like overcompensating for not having auditioned. Because I know what that feels like. If you get offered something, you're like, I didn't earn this.
I got to show up.
I got to make sure that I make it worth their while that they hired me, that they have me.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that start sort of immediately? Or was it something that was sort of like probably subconsciously building as the years went on?
Well, I think Jenna, when you had reached out to me and were kind of approaching me about this mm-hmm. podcast in general, you were like, you know, we really want to dive into the fact that like when you're a dancer and you're working mm-hmm. as a dancer, your job is to show up, shut up and mm-hmm. do your job. And that's who I was. That's who I was. Every moment that I walked into a job as a dancer. And that's kind of what we're bred to do is like you show up, you work your ass off, you keep quiet and you do your job.
Right.
And so I had already had that like work ethic within me to just like show up and do it. Don't ask questions. Do everything you're asked. You know, you're there to do what you need to do and then you're done. And so like that's who I was going into it. And then I also had just been handed this beautiful mm-hmm. platform on the show that just mm-hmm. blew me away when I watched the pilot. It was just like incredible. And I knew the show was special. And so when we were going into this stuff, into all these rehearsals and then starting shooting, I couldn't blow it. I couldn't say mm-hmm. no. I couldn't, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't blow that, you know? And I didn't even know I didn't even know I could have the voice to do that because right. Like I said, like I just was a dancer and that's not what you do. You don't speak up for yourself. You mm-hmm. don't cause a ruckus.
Right. Right. And we saw that. It was like very, you were always so professional.
And like, so I obviously mean, watching like what you said, because I remember you being very respectful. Like because we were all a bit more comfortable with one another and we had done the pilot. So we had this sort of camaraderie and, you know, bond. And like we would talk shit or gossip with one another, and you were really good about not just participating staying. And sort of like that.
Well, which was also intimidating too for me because totally. I felt like you guys had this circle and this friendship that you established previously, and it felt like I don't know about Naya, but it felt like for me we were these outsiders, right? Like you guys had established this glee club, and we weren't. Mm-hmm. So like I always loved what you guys had. I always loved that you guys were like outspoken and could do that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like I had the privilege to do that. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I felt like the little like kitty sweet in the corner bunny. Science experiment, the sweet bunny.
and then we all went to the school of Naya and she taught us how to speak up for ourselves.
And then Naya.
I mean, it's also, she was the one who had been working, like working in forever. TV longer than any of us.
Anyone else. Was doing Barbie longer than Ryan.
But honestly, I will say, even if in this like speaking up thing that we're talking about that other people probably don't really know what we're saying, is like the chance to complain in some respect, right? Or the chance to say no, I don't want to do that. it's just not, it's not like you're not bred to do that as an artist, because, or an actor, because you should be lucky to get your, have the job you have, right?
You don't know when your break is going to come, and when it does, you don't want to lose it.
Exactly.
And how then, lucky you are for millions of other people.
You just shut your mouth.
Exact same spot. Yes. Right.
But on our set, I will say, even the people who did know how to respectfully speak up for themselves, aka Naya Rivera.
Yes.
Everybody who, most people who did in the show also did their damn job and well. That's the thing. Like, it was like the expectation for our show, because we were, there were so many eyes on it, was you show up, you do your job as best as possible. You do the best you possibly, you do better than you think you can. And then you expect that from the rest, from everybody else. And I think that was also the pressure of, like, everybody else better show up because you're showing up, right?
Right.
That's the way I kind of felt. I was like, I'm doing my job. Everybody else should do their job.
Well, and it takes everybody when there's so many moving parts. There's 80 of us in a scene. It's like everyone's got to show up to make this thing
happen. Everybody has to be on the same page. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, okay.
But even, I mean, like, even I remember, there's this funny story, though. We were doing Rocky Horror, and it was really late. It was like 1:30 in the morning, and we were in those horrible wigs for like the whole day.
And we were popping out of trees.
And like Heather's sitting on the floor in between takes, and it's really late. And I just see like Heather's eyes like start to well up a little bit. And I turn to Kevin and I'm like, Heather seems unwell at the moment. And I mean, all of us were not well at that moment. And I turn to Kevin and he's like, you know, when Heather's unwell, and you know she's upset, you know it's bad.
That is true. I did used to say that all the time.
Heather was like the marker for if
it,
then you're like, okay, I think it's okay now to be like,
because
to feel
bad.
Because
you were so
justified.
She was like the,
I was tough.
The bar. You were tough.
You gotta, you gotta understand, like, I, so, so I come from, like, my parents' work habits were, I had a dad who, like, threw himself into work. He went 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single day. He built his company from the ground up, and it was a very unhealthy work habit. This is just kind of how I've justified how I grew into that habit. He was just work all day, all night, always work. And then we took these special family vacations for a week long, and he dove hard into that, loved us, and then went back to work and was like, you know, this just provider.
Right.
But he was always like just the hardest worker that I knew. And I had a mom who was like, just stay at home. She, she's very hermit-like. She doesn't like to go out. She doesn't like to do stuff. And so I have these like two opposing sides to who I am. And I felt like that really happened to me within this show. It was like, I worked so damn hard on this show, and I had such a strong work habit, and then one day it was just gone, and I just had no motivation. I think I just pushed myself to that brink of not being able to sustain. It's unsustainable when you try and do that. I mean, we all know we were working 16 hour days, 22 episodes, hour long. It was a really hard show to work on. And I was, it's hard to explain that to people, because
you should be lucky. And
you just don't know until you're there. You don't know until you're there. I've gone on sets that are musicals, and they're only shooting 10 episodes and they're 30 minutes. And I'm like, and they're freaking out, and they're like, I'm so tired. And I'm like,
Isn't that crazy? You show up to other, I've shown up to a set before, and like, I'm so sorry, this is taking so long. It's like, you guys, this is like, nothing. This is, are you kidding me?
this is beautiful. Wonderful.
This is cakewalk.
Speaking of that, it also reminds me of a time when, like, the, when your character, when Britney S. Pierce started to really explode, and people really started to learn who you were, we were seeing you on like the cover of magazines, like you also got more famous than I think you would ever had ever expected or asked for. And it was kind of like, in a way, like watching another Chris of sorts, like where that's not the part that you wanted or asked for. And yet I know how grateful you were to your fans and still are. So there's this like conflicting feeling of like wanting your personal life because you are so private and you do keep to yourself, kind of like your mom. Like, and then, you know, there's this whole other side of you that had worked so hard for so long. So I remember when you kind of like moved out and moved away and was like, I'm just going to open a coffee shop and get the hell out of here. But like, can you talk about that? Like kind of like your rise to this crazy amount of fame that you didn't expect?
Yeah, it was a wild ride. And I think I wanted it super hard and I pushed for it and I didn't know what I was pushing for. I didn't know what the end product was. I mean, I could be assuming, but I always felt like you guys kind of knew what it was to promote things, what it was to do press, what it was to do interviews. Mm-hmm. I had never been in the front and forefront. I was always in the background. So I didn't know what any of that meant. And I thought I did. So I thought I was ready for it all. Like, and I just wasn't, you know, I had done limited acting. I had not had any like press training. I didn't know what any of that was. So when I went into it knowingly and willingly, it was like very overwhelming and I was very excited, but then I did get the attention that I had just put the hard work in for and it scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I was like,
yeah,
I don't want to be looked. I don't want to be approached. I want to sit at a table and not have people stare at me. Mm-hmm. Like all that. And it was at a breaking point between like, you know, the Life and Style magazines, but, and then into like social media and reality. And so it was kind of like transitioning. And I definitely could have been more graceful with that and gone with that whole ride of like, now we are real people and we can show you. Mm. But I, you know, you guys knew I wasn't into social media at the time. I was like, I just want to work and I want to show that I'm right. still working, all that aside. And so the way I see it is I had put all my eggs into this Glee basket. Mm-hmm. And now it was just getting too heavy and I just wasn't happy anymore. And, you know, Taylor and I out of the blue got pregnant and it wasn't planned. And I felt like it was the most beautiful gift that I could have been given in the world. And I definitely took all those eggs and I threw them in a parent basket.
Right.
And since then, obviously, I've learned balance. It was just at that point, it felt like it was something I needed. It was like the perfect thing for my heart at that time because I just didn't know. I also, you guys, I didn't start going to therapy until 3 years ago, like around when Naya died. So I didn't know all these things that were wrong with me. I didn't know that I was hurting. And that's why I stopped talking about the show. You guys could see stuff like that. It's just like, we know it's hard. It's, I always teach my kids at convention weekends because I teach dance. I'm like, it's really hard to be the person that sits down and tells your friend that you're worried about them. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. And you just gotta, sometimes you gotta get uncomfortable to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Preach. But I'm such a big advocate for therapy because I'm like, even if you're not going to medicate yourself, at least just like understand and get to know yourself a little bit better.
Totally.
It makes you have to pause because I think when we were doing that or someone that works a lot, you are just concerned with that. So all these things just build up, they accumulate, and then you're left with this whole, like you said, all these eggs that you sort of have to sort through at some point. They don't go anywhere. They're all still there. You just move them to a different basket.
Spoiled.
Yeah. And then at some point, you have to allow yourself, carve out at some point to let me figure this out. Because if you don't, then it comes out in other ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of being pregnant on the show. So like, I can't even imagine. I was like, and I had a good pregnancy. Like I was very lucky. But like imagining going back and doing what you did while you were pregnant, I'm like in shock. And I'm just curious because it feels like a fever dream to me when you were pregnant, because I remember like doing nationals on like speed and being like, Heather's like 8 months pregnant. What that experience was like for you, because we were younger and you were the first of us to go through that. Like, what was that like? Was it lonely? Did you feel like we understood what you were dealing with, or what was your experience?
It was actually interesting because Penny, the camera operator, the camera assistant,
yep.
Mm-hmm. She had a sense. Like, she kind of knew.
Mm.
And Babs also knew. She could see it.
The women know.
They know.
She knew. She just had a feeling. And so it definitely felt isolating and I don't know. It was interesting, but I also was excited. And like, it was the first time. And obviously, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how to eat. I didn't know how to take care of myself. Like I said, I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know I was about to get pregnant. So I didn't like have any plan.
Right.
Like, I didn't get ready for it. I was just like, well, here I am. I'm pregnant. I don't even think I found out till I was like almost out of my first trimester. Like,
do you remember when I turned? I had this like weird witchy thing, and I was like, I think somebody's pregnant. And I didn't realize it at the time. Obviously, in hindsight, I put it together. Yeah. But you're like,
I just have a feeling.
I'm like, I think somebody's pregnant. I don't know who it is, and Heather's face whips around so fast. She's like, why? Why do you think that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, do you think that too? She's like, I don't know.
Okay.
That week or something that you thought maybe you were pregnant. I forgot what it was, but there was some timing thing, like you had just found out or you were about to find out.
Oh my God.
In hindsight, I look back at it and I'm like, how would they have written me in as pregnant? Because I had to fight to get out of there. I was like, I'm going to stay on the show pregnant. I don't want to be on the show pregnant, especially all the hard work we do.
Well, you did it for a long while, and I remember being in heels in your back, and I just felt so bad.
I just remember doing cartwheels on Spice Girls, and I'll never forget that.
Pregnant.
There was a tiny little Eli in my belly doing cartwheels as a Spice Girl. I was 40 Spice. Like,
when we did Drag Race, when I was pregnant, I did like a full split, and I was like, one day Emma's going to know mommy did that. With a mini Emma. She did Sing for Her Life.
That show. But like, no, wait. No. First of all, you two on that show.
Kevin on that show.
No, Jenna.
Well, but still, both of you guys.
It was
wild. That hard? Like, what was that like?
I say to Kevin, there was like, before we would go out on stage, we'd be backstage like waiting and hanging out in the wings and I'd be like, I'm not nervous. And he's like, no, neither am I. And it's because like
we both have bad nerves.
We both have really bad nerves.
That's right. I do too.
I was like, we don't have to sing live, Kevin. Like we're lip syncing like we do on Glee all the time. Like this feels like home for us.
And there's something freeing, which I wonder if you had this experience too, about it felt like we were in a mask. Like because we're so not ourselves, it was freeing. We're like, it doesn't matter what I do. Who cares?
The hardest thing about it was like the actual drag, like the costumes. It's its own entity, right? Like you just getting in the makeup and then the boys on top of it have to wear all this padding and stuff. So it was definitely
it's like full prosthetics.
That was hard.
Marvel movie level. Yeah,
it was intense.
I still need to understand how any of you can dance in heels. I don't get it.
You did a great job, Kevin.
Kevin's
heel broke right before he did dance on the floor. His heel broke backstage, and they're trying to like nail it back in, and out comes crazy Jenna. That was like
Jenna's head.
Absolutely not. I was like, excuse me, we're not nailing a heel together for him to go dance on it. I said, no.
She just comes out of nowhere. There's a whole wardrobe department trying to figure out what we're going to do. She
literally
goes,
hammer a nail into his heel.
No.
She goes, no. We're not doing that. And just went away. It was
Did
so
they
good.
Stop? Did they like, stop doing it?
Okay, we'll get some new shoes. I was like, we're not doing that.
Yeah, and it was really nice. And it brought me back to the Glee days of like how nice it is to have people who know you. And like the end of Glee, when we all learn to sort of protect each other and protect ourselves. And she just stuck her head out. I'm like, oh, there she is.
But just like common sense. Like you don't nail a heel together.
No.
That's a big hazard. It's a no-no.
It's a no-no. And then likewise, like Kevin, like it was nice to have somebody who knew I was pregnant during that time because I couldn't tell anybody. So at least there was somebody there that knew. Yeah. Because I was like, I'm feeling ill today.
But
I don't feel great.
You're an actual winner. Baby, Heather.
You are Heather Morris.
Snip, snip.
So at my baby shower,
and a
Heather
good secret keeper.
I mean,
I love Secrets more than anything.
And everybody's like, Heather's away for like months and we don't know what she's doing. And we're like, come on, somebody knows what she's doing. And they're like, no.
I thought I could get it. I thought I could get it out of her.
I thought.
What did you think it was?
I thought you were doing like a Marvel something. Like because they make you sign NDAs for stuff like that. So I was like, is she a Marvel character?
Yeah, we're like, it's Star Wars. It's
that would be awesome.
Because I've always broken all those NDAs. Like I
always
we did like X Factor or any of those, like I Drag like, Race, I told everybody everything and I was really bad at it.
You are the best secret keeper.
Yeah,
I love secrets.
Congrats, that's awesome.
They get me excited.
Did you have fun doing it?
I had a blast. I had a really fun time. The choreo team, Erin Renfrey, I just like, we worked so well together.
She was on The Masked Dancer, actually, by the way, if nobody knows.
I was on The Masked Dancer and I won it and I was a scissors. And that's all you have to know about it.
Was your helmet heavy?
It wasn't heavy, no.
It looked heavy.
It was not. They all look really heavy. And honestly, it's really funny because it's like, it's basically like a bicycle helmet and it's this contraption that has the chin strap. And then there's like wires somehow that connect to the actual thing. So it's super light.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as you think it was. It was between the Eiffel Tower I think it was a lily. Might have been a lily.
Did you
and
get to
scissors.
Pick?
So I got to pick. Those were the three that she pitched
How
me.
Fun.
It was cute Eiffel Tower, which was just too big and bulky. I couldn't have danced to her. Mm-hmm. And then there was Lily and she was really pretty. But like once I saw scissors,
you're like, that's me.
She was it. And the funny part about scissors was when she showed me the picture, like the sketch, I pictured her so different. Like, this is me with ADD, Heather, thinking that this scissors is going to be like crazy. She's jumping around the stage, doing jumping jacks. Like, she's this like, basically an adolescent scissors. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the crafty scissors. And then I have a meeting with Beth, who's the creator. And she was like, oh, no. She's super posh. She's like your hairdresser scissors. She's on a magazine.
That.
She's super fancy. And I was like, oh my God, Heather, what is wrong with you?
I also
well, you
love
have
that
two kids. So of course you went to crafty
that's
scissors.
True. Crafty scissors.
That's really fun.
I love there's all the thought behind the scissors.
Right.
Inanimate objects. This is who they are. That's great.
Yeah. We had a full meeting about who she was and what did she do. It was such a blast. And like I was saying, so Erin and I worked so well together and it was actually really helpful because I was able to help him with choreography so that his assistants could then go work on the other characters. And then I just felt like I got to do a little bit more because it's a really isolating experience when you go out there and do that. Mm-hmm. You can't like meet with people. You're not even allowed to hang out with people that you're working with, like the choreographers, because if they're seen with you, then other people will know if they spot them and they're like, oh my God, you work on The Masked Dancer. She must be on The Masked Dancer. So
they're very intense about it. Unlike really Kevin and I, where they were like, they tried, but like
X Factor, like, they were pretty sneaky.
I bet they were.
You worked with Liz though. Our girl Liz.
You worked with Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a full chat about you, and I was about to see you.
Oh no! Yeah, Liz.
I saw you a couple weeks later.
Shout out to Liz. She every show I've ever done in the UK, she's been a part of somehow.
Liz is incredible.
Yeah,
I love her.
She like has all these incredible stories. Like she was there when One Direction got put together, and is like BFFs with all of them, and all this like crazy, crazy stories.
I love that.
She's the best.
I wish she would move out here.
Did you know you were going to win? Did you like
idea. I had zero clue.
Wow.
I was in the bottom my second episode that I was on. And I was like, okay, well, this is it. You fucking failed at Dancing with the Stars. You're going to fail at The Masked Dancer. Like,
stop.
This is it.
Dancing with
the
Stars is bullshit.
Well, yeah, but I shouldn't have been on that show anyway.
I'm sorry. Normani was on it.
Yeah, you weren't like the first person
Normani
to do that.
Normani is a full-blown...
dancer.
Competition dancer.
Well,
that's what I mean. There's no reason why she couldn't be on it.
And not to put shade on her because she's super sweet. And I also at the time wasn't going to be like, well, she's a dancer. So why is she not getting shit?
Yeah. If you're both dancers, that's fine. You're both on the show.
Right.
Like, cool.
Period.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Furious.
But no, I got to dance next to Adam Garcia, who was in Coyote Ugly. And he's like this incredible performer. He's like amazing. No idea who it was the whole time. I just
no way.
It was so amazing and also wild to be like dancing in a mask and trying to like win over the audience. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to basically win over the audience, not on camera but off camera, because these people are voting for you live.
So silly.
I had no idea if they liked me or not. Coming in being like this posh scissors, that wasn't the game plan. Like, I couldn't go in there and be this super serious scissors, because then I wouldn't gain the attention of all these people. I had to be like fun and exciting and, you know, wave to little people like a Disney character on at Disney World.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
You put Heather on stage, just let her do what she wants to do. Like, yeah. I've hardly seen a performer who is as hypnotizing as you. Like, you,
thank you.
It was such a privilege, and I told you this all the time.
Every time.
Like, it's such a gift to be able to watch you perform. Mm-hmm. You, it's really unreal. We were watching Showmance the other day, and Bust Your Windows came on.
Bust Your Windows. God. Little Hemo.
It's just
Bust Your Windows.
You, that's like, it. There's that's something it. About the way you dance that, like,
I know.
Focus like, has got to like, go to you.
Like, we'd
you're
always
so
watch,
good.
Like, Slave for You on tour. We'd all, like, stop. We'd, mm-hmm. like, gotta watch. I gotta watch.
It's unbelievable.
Well, just as equally, I love you both so much, and I am obsessed with both of you in a very underground, not crazy, weird way.
You can be crazy. It's okay. We can be crazy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Jenna? Let's talk about one of our favorite places, Target. This is where, like, Austin and I go on dates. We will run through the aisles of Target. I love the book selection. Seriously, this is our favorite place to go together. We go all the time. And specifically, Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
Exactly. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
Now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about Snixmas for just 1 second because it's coming up. We just wanted to share with people we're doing Snixmas. Hemo is going to be there. Hemo has been incredibly supportive of all of this along with us the whole time. This is the third year we're doing it, so I just wanted to remind people that Snixmas is here. It's at 7 p.m. from the iHeartRadio Theater in Los Angeles.
Can I tease what song I'm going to be doing?
Well, we'll just say you're performing.
Yeah. Performing and say something about it if you want.
But I want to tease what it is.
I know, but then, so give, you're a really good secret keeper, so give us something.
Yeah, do your tease.
Give us a nugget.
Guys, don't put me on the spot.
No, that's the whole point of this.
It'll be like a perfectly wrapped little gift. Just for you all.
Yeah.
With a
yes, it will. Yes, it
ribbon
will.
Ribbon on the top.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So Hema will be there performing something.
Yes.
There's your nugget.
Yes. I am so excited for this year. I cannot believe it's live.
I know. We're so grateful that iHeart's been so great and that we get to do this live and we get to be with everybody. This is the first year we're getting to do that. And it's just like, it's just a totally different vibe. So we're super stoked that we're able to do this.
There'll be an audience. That will be so much fun.
Yeah. Woo. We're going to play games. There's going to be it's going to be a good time. Yeah. But if you can't come in person, you can also, we are streaming the event on December 8th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, make sure you go to boxoffice.mandolin.com.
And all those tickets are donations towards Alexandria House. All that money goes to them, and it's just an incredible cause, and they've been so, so nice and supportive of us trying to string something together for them every year.
They're so grateful, and you know, have been wonderful to keeping Naya's memory alive also within Alexandria House as well. So Hemo, thanks for supporting Snixmas along with us.
Always. If I wasn't a room parent, I'd did more.
No, you got enough on your plate.
Room parent is crazy. We'll talk about that later. Some of these top Britney S. Pierce lines I just wanted to share.
Do you have a favorite?
Do you have a favorite before I read any of these off?
I don't think so. The stork was pretty funny. There's so many good ones. I just loved when Ian would come on set and he would it would be like he's in class. Like he would sit there and like write things down, and he'd come to me on the side and be like, "Say this. Say this."
Oh my God. You were probably his favorite just because he got to his muse. You could say all these like crazy things. Did people come up to you and like say Britney lines to you?
Yeah. And some of them I don't even know I said. And so that's
right. Like this one, like Sour Patch Kids are just gummy bears that turn to drugs.
Mm-hmm. Heart attacks are just from loving too much.
No, that's cute. That's true. A unicorn is someone who knows he's popular but isn't afraid to show it.
I mean, and I think maybe the best line of the entire show ever is, "Did you know that dolphins are just gay sharks?"
I mean, there have been shirts made for that.
I mean,
one.
that's got to be the best line
because it's absolutely
ever,
true.
Right? Like that's it. How much fun? Like that's great. There wasn't a lot of improvising on the show too, so it's nice that like Ian could do whatever he wanted because he's one of the creators and writers, and to be able to just feed you lines
be
like
the vehicle
that.
For that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Before we let you go, do you have a favorite Santana Britney moment?
Oh, golly. Oh, my God. I was like, I had my notes ready for my favorite song just based on what you guys did with Chris. So I was like, I have my full notes. But
give us the notes,
yep,
Heather.
Absolutely give us the notes.
Tell us.
Okay. What is your favorite song on the show?
Yeah, go.
Okay, what is your favorite song? I'm glad you asked. Stupid. I loved You Can't Touch This. That was so much fun.
What?
Because it was like, I know, I think everybody hated it, but that was
no, Heather, I have the same memories as you of this number. I agree. I am with you.
Yes.
I am
because
with you.
Hammer Pants and and like the 90s and the late 80s, like that was my.
And the number
was. It was a really fun day.
Fun. Elodie directed that, right?
I was just really worried about the rap. The rap was messing me up, so I think that's what I was concerned about.
That's
there's a lot of words.
I'm dead. That is hilarious, though. That all the numbers she brings
that's
out.
Great.
That
I have more. You guys,
do you have a least favorite song?
What was my least favorite song? Yeah. I hated Hello Goodbye. Oh. And You Can't Always Get What You Want. Those are classics that you just shouldn't touch.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
Those are songs that you just shouldn't. I hate it. I will say, as much as the Gaga stuff was amazing, like, Jenna, you knew I hated Bad Romance.
Yeah.
Because that lobster was a terror. And
well, that mask was really hard on you. That was a really hard costume.
Hard on you.
Yeah,
the lobster was eating my brain.
It looked really good, though.
It did look
really good. It did look really
I would just
cool.
look over, though, and she would just not be thrilled. She was not. That was a hard one. That was a hard one.
It was a hard one. You were always there for me, Jenna.
Oh, you were always there for me, Heather. She would love you love to play with people's hair, and I would be like, can you
oh my god, the hair? Best head rubs of all time. Oh, I think about those. Oh.
Yeah, I just need human touch, you know, like I'm.
Yeah, yes. I hear that.
What was the Santana line that she said in the show? I just need. I'm like a
warm body or something, wasn't it? Like I don't know. We'll find it. We'll find it, and we'll.
I need a something between my legs and a warm.
Yes. What is it? We'll find it. And we'll
I'm like a lizard. I need something warm beneath me.
Yes.
Or else I can't digest my food. What a brilliant line.
What a brilliant line.
Do you have any more favorites? Things?
Which on your notes?
Oh, like songs?
No, what's on your notes? Yeah. Nice.
Okay, so River Deep Mountain High was obviously my childhood as a dancer. So, of course. And all those two were just like.
And like you got to do it on tour too. You got to like actually do that. That was a good one.
But they were such a joy to watch. For me, just the fact that we did jump on trampolines. Oh my God. And I remember everybody was like so over it, especially Amber. Amber did not want to be doing that. She hated it. And I was having the best time of my life. The song is crazy. And then they wanted to put it on our first tour ever when we went
to
the Radio City Music Hall. And the fact that they thought that that wasn't a hazard.
and we did it.
Yeah,
We
did do it. And it was actually really fun on tour to do that. The reason why we all hated that number in real life, we'll talk about it during Mattress, was because they had to turn the air conditioner off for sound purposes. And it was so freaking
boiling
hot.
Deep in the valley.
And jumping, just bouncing on these trampolines. I should have known. There was my preamble.
Yeah.
My preamble. Anything else on these notes, Hemo?
Oh, no. I think that's it.
That's it.
Are we asking favorite songs with Naya?
Favorite scenes with Naya?
Sure. Anything like that you did with Naya?
It was – you got – I think –
the best of.
Yeah, you got so many one-on-one scenes with her, and you guys were so good, and your relationship started a movement, you
it
know
did.
Like the Santana Britney fans are still wild.
That's
like
right.
They're passionate,
so wild. Love them.
Yeah
Love them, love them, love them.
Yeah.
With the best of intentions.
That's right.
I just got so many wonderful moments with her, and I think everything we got she annihilated, and she came from truth. And I remember every time we would do something, she just wanted it to be more truthful and more real and more personal. And getting to watch her sing the songs that she got to sing, like Songbird to me, like those were real tears because she was just so incredible. And her voice was just, she was an angel. And it was like, I just feel so lucky.
Mm. Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Oh, the best.
I wish I had like a perfect moment, but I mean, she was all around me.
Yeah.
And there was nothing.
No, exactly.
It was, I get that. It was again, like watching you perform. It was a gift watching her perform.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Well,
at
Hemo, thanks for sharing all of these wonderful nuggets. It was such a pleasure to have you. And
of course.
We just know we can always count on you. And we really appreciate that. We love you.
I love you guys so much. You guys are consistent. You guys are like the rock. And I'm like a balloon. And I need to tether you to you.
You're the best.
Wow. Heather Morris.
Just a gem, isn't she?
She really is. And it's just such a joy to see your friends grow and evolve. And, you know, I just feel like I'm just so glad we've all stayed so close and found each other in this new way. So,
and it's wonderful to see, you know, your friends like you go from
obviously being super talented and professional to being also an incredible mom and wife. And it's just, yeah, it's wonderful to see everyone do their thing.
Remember Heather's wedding? We didn't even talk about that.
I know.
Naya was so pregnant.
She was very pregnant.
She's like, I'm on a food tour.
Well, we'll have to have Heather back and then we can, we'll talk about the wedding.
Well, thank you, Heather Morris, for coming on and sharing and bearing your soul. We love you so much. And come back next week for another recap and another exciting guest. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
Tell your friends, tell your family, and we'll be here next week. Bye. Thanks for listening and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.